This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood, where you can get a 2020 Corolla LE, lease it for $159 a month, sign and drive $289 a month, get on down to 1841 North State Road 7 in Hollywood, Toyota of Hollywood.
All righty, welcome back. We head down the home stretch today. Man, we're going well over 4 hours today on the show. How about that? That is crazy stuff.
We're going to have 2 5-hour shows this week.
With minimal
breaks.
This
one and Thursday, right?
Yeah,
with the double dip.
Yeah, Thursday we'll be double dipping. So we'll have 5 hours.
You're a maniac, bro.
I don't know about a maniac, but, you know, we do our thing. You know what I mean? Like I told you, sometimes we'll do a 2.5-hour show, and then sometimes we'll do a 4-hour show. You just never know what it's going to be.
Only happened twice, okay? The two, only like twice.
I could go another hour and a half if I felt like it with the stuff that I have left to talk about. Let's go over Flo's press conference. Flo addressed the media today. Remember, it's a short week, so no off day today. They got to get ready for Thursday. So Flo addressed the meteors today. Today's like a Wednesday, pretty much. You know, it's kind of like that's what it is, you know. And tomorrow's kind of Saturday, you know. And then Thursday will be Sunday. That kind of stuff. So Flo had to address the media. Let's go over his comments. I'm sure there'll be some injury questions, too, because some of us are worried about a specific cornerback. So let's find out with Flo. What's the latest with your Miami Dolphins as they get ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Good morning, Flo. Good morning. I want to ask about Landon Roberts. Is he out of the concussion protocol? And what part of the return rehab, what part of his concussion protocol is he in if he isn't?
He's still in the protocol. He's still, I guess, in the evaluation stage. Our medical team, Kyle Johnston, handles that. He does a great job from that standpoint. We're going to get him back as quickly as possible. But, again, we're very, look with the concussions, we're careful with those. And we just got to be smart about it and make sure he's ready to go before we bring him back.
Barry?
Hi, Brian. Obviously, one of the first moves you made that coming here was moving McCain to safety. If the play at slot corner remains up and down, and obviously that's not by no means the biggest reason why you all have lost, but if it remains up and down, would you give any thought to moving Bobby back there because of his experience, or in your mind, is he a safety for you long-term? Want to ask you about Brandon Jones and that as well. He played some slot corner at Texas, but you all draft him as a safety. Could you look at him as an option there as well?
Well, Barry, you know, we look at all options. So Bobby's got experience in a lot of positions, corner, slot, safety. Brandon played, a few different positions in college. So we look at every option. Something that we've talked about as a staff from just a personnel standpoint, what's the best group of guys we can put out there and get field and gives us the most competitive group. So, a lot of conversations like that are had. Bobby's obviously part of a lot of those conversations because he's so versatile, and we'll continue to try to put the best group out there we can on a weekly basis.
So we're not telling you.
Steve?
Ryan, regarding the terrible injury toll around the league, especially on Sunday, how much do you think the disrupted training regimen this year might be a factor?
Yeah, I mean, that's really unfortunate with, the rash of injuries that we saw around the league. I mean, you never want that. You just don't as someone who works with these guys, on a daily basis. I know how hard they work. I know how important it is to them. I hate to see it, whether it's, obviously our team, but anyone around the league, whether we're playing them, not playing them. You just hate to see it. It's unfortunate. These guys, they work extremely hard, and to have it taken away from them, I feel for them all. Specific to the, lack of off season, I can't, I imagine all these guys worked extremely hard in the off season. I know everyone had a little different circumstances with the pandemic, but it's hard to say. It's easy to say, you know, because they weren't on a normal regimen, this is why it happened. But, you know, it's football and things happen on it every year. And it's just unfortunate, Steve.
Travis?
Good morning, Coach. I wanted to ask you about Jacksonville rookie receiver Laviska Shenault, because he's played multiple positions on offense, both in college and as a pro. And with a player like that that can play receiver and running back, you know, multiple positions on offense, how does that impact the way you communicate and substitute your personnel package to try to best match the offensive grouping?
Yeah, Shenault, he's done a really good job. They're playing multiple positions, receiver, running back. He's big, he's fast, he's explosive. Obviously, they have a lot of good players. Robinson, the running back's a good young addition to their team. Obviously, the quarterback, good old line. So, Shenault's just one piece to what's been a good group offensive skill players this far this year. So, it'll be a big challenge for us getting him handled and the multiple things that he does. But you can't just kind of lock in on one guy, because they've got several other guys who can make plays, and we've got to do a good job on all of them.
Omar?
Coach, when you've got a young team that's just learning a new offense with Chan Gailey, how long do you think it takes to establish and develop an offensive identity?
As soon as possible. I mean, that's what we're hoping for. I mean, the guys work hard to try to, establish a run game, establish a play action game, establish a drop back game, protect the quarterback, screen game. I mean, all those things are important. It does take, time to get to know guys around you. We saw improvement from week one to week two, and hopefully that, we're better, 5 weeks from now than we are now. So I think that's what every team's trying to do on all three sides of the ball, and coaching as well. We're all just trying to improve and get better and just be better, get better week to week.
Sothan?
Hey, Coach, good morning. Gardner Minshew's been, fairly accurate in his first two games, thrown 3 touchdowns in both games as well. What are some things that you're seeing from him off the film?
Yeah, I mean, he's been accurate. He spreads the ball around. So you can't just lock in on one or two guys. The backs are getting it, the tight ends are getting it. Each of the receivers has had some production. He's got some scrambling abilities and can extend plays. He's a good quarterback, good young quarterback. You can see his leadership and command of the offense, and he's a good player.
He's crafty back there too,
Adam.
Yeah, piggyback on that question. When he was in the draft last year, what was your evaluation of him? And if he slipped around 6, are you surprised by the level of production he's had?
Well, I mean, he's coming out. He was smart, tough, competitive, good accuracy. The guy we liked. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, he's got all the characteristics you're looking for in that position, and smart player, and obviously that's coming to fruition up there in Jacksonville.
Barry?
Brian, I was going to ask you on your 2 rookie defensive linemen, was there a jump in performance from Raekwon Davis, you think, from week 1 to week 2? And with Strobridge, is he in your thought process right now? Is he showing enough where you think he could help you if you need him?
Well, with Stro, I think this is a young, developing player. Look, we can only dress 48, so someone's got to be inactive. I don't think there's anything he's doing that would lead you to anyone to believe that he's not performing up to par. We just have some other guys at that position. Raekwon, I think he did play better in week 2 than week 1, but we need to see continuing improvement from him, really in all areas, pass rush, run defense, communication. But I did think he played better, and that's what we're looking for out of all the young guys and really everyone on the team. Let's just improve. Let's get better on a week-to-week basis and try to get better.
Adam?
Yeah, I'm sure there's not just one thing on defense that you're harping on this week, but when you look at the first 2 weeks, has there been something that's been recurring? Certainly, you know, the run defense in week one, the pass defense in week two were the issue, but has there been one thing that's really bothered you about how the team's performed?
I mean, I think there's been some opportunities for us to make plays and we haven't made them. A couple of dropped interceptions, you know, lost edges, you know, a couple missed tackles. So there's, look, there's never just one thing. But I think we've had some opportunities. We need to take advantage of them. I mean, we try to stress how important every play is, because you never know which one's going to be the one that changes momentum or makes a shift in the game. So we just need the focus and the detail and the precision on a play-to-play basis. And we just, you know, when our opportunities present themselves, we need to take advantage. I mean, that's life. You get an opportunity, you got to take advantage. You don't, you know, all it is a lost opportunity. So that's the message to the team. And that's always been my message. So we just need to learn from our mistakes, make the corrections, go back out there and try to play a tough, smart, physical game on Thursday night. And that's going to be that's our goal.
All right, we have time for two more. We'll go to Sathid.
Hey, Flo, what have you seen from guys like Josh Allen and Chazon on their defense?
Young, talented, physical, developing, fast. I think you can see a difference from Chazon week one to week two. But, you know, great effort. I mean, they play hard. They'll be good players in this league if they just continue on their trajectory that they're on. I know, I know Doug's on them, and he's on them about being professionals and doing it the right way. And if they listen up, they'll be just fine.
All right, final question for Omar.
I know a lot of us are harping on the pass rush, but does the fact that you've had to play two mobile quarterbacks impact the thought process or the play calling at all, or is this just guys not getting off blocks?
We've been talking about this the last couple of days.
I mean, it's a combination, Omar. I would say it's us not making the plays, not executing, again, our opponents making plays and executing. We've got to play better. And that's really what it boils down to. We need more pressure on the quarterback. I mean, I think every team is looking for that. We need to find ways to get more pressure on the quarterback. And that's what we've been talking about the last few days. So look, we're always trying to get better. And that's in a lot of different phases, offensively, defensively, in a kicking game. So whether it's the run game, whether it's the pass game, whether it's the pass rush, whether it's the edge, setting the edges, whether it's the screen game, we're looking to improve and make the necessary adjustments so we can be better in those areas.
Well, he was outstanding today and pretty much saying nothing and kind of keeping everything very general and very PC. And we had talked about that for the pass rush, it was a little bit of a challenge the first 2 weeks because they have, you know, faced running quarterbacks, which don't give you the opportunity to absolutely just tee off. And I think Gardner Minshew on Thursday will give you that opportunity. The one thing that when he was describing Gardner, the one thing he left out, which I know the coach knows and everybody else knows, I don't know how about all of you out there, but he's really crafty in the pocket. I've been so impressed with Gardner the first 2 years here, first year last year, and then first couple games here. He buys time in the pocket. He's really good at it. And he has a good feel for the pocket, you know, something that our prior quarterback did not have, still doesn't have, by the way, to this day, because I've already seen it I saw it in week one for Tennessee. But this kid has a great feel for the pocket. He senses the pass rush. He knows when the pocket's crumbling. He knows how to move to either side to buy himself some time. So that will be one of the things that will be a pain in the ass to deal with Gardner Minshew, because I think he might be one of the better quarterbacks actually at buying extra time back there to make the play. Marino was a master at that. And all it was a couple of feet one way, a couple of feet that way, shuffle this way, shuffle that way, and boom, fire it off. And that's what he does. He has a way of moving in the pocket with the ball ready to go. And as he's moving, he's ready to throw at the same time. It's not like the guy that has no pocket sense that moves for a foot and then starts to search again. No, no, no. He's already moving so he can actually launch. That's kind of what it is. And that's what good quarterbacks do. And I'm not at the point yet to say that this guy's a good quarterback, but he has the capabilities of being a good quarterback. He has a lot of the instincts that you need to be a good quarterback. And who knows? He might be turning that corner after this year. We'll see, because he had a nice year last year. Now he's got to come and do it again. And I think then we can prove whether he's the guy and ready to go and be that guy.
Remember that first week, man, 19 of 20.
Yeah. No, he's crafty.
Like, you know, and like you were talking about, a lot of his touchdown passes, you see it.
Mm-hmm.
He's out rolling out of the on the side of the pocket.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, NBA. Let me give you my picks. We'll just go with one because we'll be on tomorrow. We'll give you the Heat pick tomorrow, even though I'm going to take the Heat plus +3 because the Celtics are favored. But anyway, I crapped out on the weekend. I apologize. We went 0-2. So we dropped to 34-25-1. So we're only 9 games above 500. We need to get back to double digits again. So we'll do that tonight. Lakers are favored by 6.5. The over and under is 214. Really tempted with the over. But I'm going to take the Nuggets plus 6.5. I think the Nuggets have to play their asses off like they did in the last game. And they want, and the Lakers won with a 3 by AD at the end. I think they'll keep it close once again. I'm going to take the 6.5. I'm going to take the dog here. Maybe even the Nuggets win tonight to make this an interesting series. You and I know that if they don't win tonight, the series is over. So it's kind of like the Celtics. If they want to have a shot in this series, they got to win tonight. I'm going to take the 6.5. I'm going with the dog here. Nuggets plus 6.5 against the Lakers at 9:00. So those are my picks. Tomorrow we'll give you our selection with the Heat and the Celtics. And what the hell, we'll also have Inter Miami playing tomorrow against New York Red Bulls. Did you know that Inter Miami is favored by half a goal? Yeah. Yeah, I told you it's a winnable game. So, yes, they can win this game, man. They're a team in transition. And the over and under is 3 goals. I think they're going to go over again. Hell, they went over in the 11 minutes in the last game.
Are they as good as Tennessee with that slow down defensive crap game?
I hate
that stuff, man.
Nashville plays, they pack the box and they play counter. They're not necessarily like that. They're a defensive club, but
not to that degree.
No, because they have a little bit more scoring than Nashville. Nashville has no scoring.
Right. So they don't have a choice.
They have to play that way. They have to play.
It was so frustrating.
They have to live off of counter and set pieces.
That Nashville, the game up in Nashville, that game was frustrating.
Yeah.
We had like 2 or 3 really good chances to score, but, man, it was just hurry up and slow down. Yeah, man. Not very fun to watch.
Yeah. Hylia Bread asked me whatever happened to Soundcheck, and Soundcheck, unfortunately, you know, COVID happened and there's no music going on. There's no live music, no nothing. So it's really hard to do the music show the way we want to do it. So unfortunately, we can't do it. Not yet, at least. I'm not giving up on it. It's just...
it's on the back burner.
Yeah, we just need music to come back. But we got plenty of stuff coming up now. We got this going on. Notre Dame and Wake Forest have been postponed. 7 Notre Dame players tested positive for the virus on Monday. Okay.
This is all your fault. You know that, right?
Yeah. It's totally my fault.
God darn it, man. Why'd
I screwed it all up. I mean, I should have waited till like 5 weeks to say I was impressed. I got to say I was impressed at college football's.
No, say it sometime around February when we've gotten through the season.
Yeah, I probably should have waited. Oh, how about Tommy DeVito passing away at 92, complications from COVID. Very sad, originally of the Four Seasons. Yeah, it's this COVID, man. The thing that people don't understand is that if you're old or you have pre-existing conditions, this thing will just put your ass out. And you just have no idea how it's going to affect one person or another. And that's the unpredictable part of it. You know, look, that whole thing that you guys were throwing out there that the CDC reversed it on airborne, it was, that's not true, actually. It is airborne. That was a misplaced post on their part. So it is a airborne virus still. Okay? Like I said yesterday, even if they tell me it may not be an airborne virus, I'm wearing my mask. I'm not going to take the chance. I'll wait till this thing is all the way down before I start really, you know, living my life like I used to live my life.
Saw one of the saddest stories concerning this. Did you see it? Husband and wife was going through the COVID.
Yeah, they died within
a minute. Minutes, and
they were married for 50 years.
They pushed the beds together, put their hands together. Their hands, my God.
50 years, bro.
Man,
you're with somebody 50 years, you're connected, bro. You're connected.
Bro, when I was reading that story, man, my heart sank, man. It just, wow.
I got a lady in this house that I've been with for 30 years. I kind of know what that person feels like when you're someone with someone for 50. You know, I know 30's not 50, but 30's pretty long, man. And we've been together 31 years. It'll be 32, actually, in November. So 32, you know. So, yeah, I know how that feels, dude. And it happens all the time. Happens all the time, dude.
The son was the one that was telling the story. And obviously the ICU nurses are the ones that, you know, push the beds together and all. And, like, they were told the story.
When we lost Jim Mandich, his wife, Bonnie, went just shortly after, a couple months right after.
That's
all of a sudden she got sick and was gone.
That's more than the norm. That is almost like the norm.
Those are two people that were together. I don't know, but it's pretty close to 50 years. I think they were together. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's one of those things, dude. You're used to living and, you know, they're like your other half.
My folks, they touched 54 years this year.
All right, that's it, man. It's just, it's a whole different ball game when you've been with somebody a lifetime, man. It's terrible.
And yeah, my folks, man, they still hold hands. It's crazy.
Yeah, it happens. Still love her. You got to hold her hand, don't you? Big O, you started watching Cobra Kai. I watched and finished it. Excellent. Waiting for season 3 now. Loved it. I tell everybody to watch it, man. You got to watch it. Super Boomshack says, I suck. 0-2 in marriages. Hang in there, my brother. I know it ain't easy, man. It ain't easy. It's not an easy thing. I think those of us that are lucky, you know, you find somebody you can stay with, I think you're very fortunate when that does happen.
If I would have gotten married to any one of the ones that I lived with many years, you know, three and a half, five, I would have had, I'd have three divorces, three and a half and a five and a half living together.
Yeah, you get married, you better make sure.
Would have been 0-3.
You better make sure, bro, because it's a mistake. It's a mistake you don't want to make, unfortunately.
That's one of the reasons I haven't jumped there, is to not get divorced.
Right, no, I get it. Yeah, it's a tough one.
That's because you're the one that told me, man, if there's anything that any of the boxes that need to be checked, if there's one that you cannot check, you don't go.
Yeah, you can't go.
So there was always something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. All right, it is time to wrap it up here on the show. I think we've done enough. I think we've done about 4.5 hours today, right? Something like that. What is it?
Let me say that we're actually over.
4.5?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we did over 4.5 today. We did a little work today, just a tad. It's all good.
You want to keep going? You got more stories.
Matthew Walker says, I brought it to your show's attention. I guess it was a bad report. My apologies. You don't have to apologize, Matthew Walker. You were reading a report that somebody else posted. No big deal, bro. It's going on everywhere. I mean, come on. Listen, man. They tell us coffee's good for you. Then they tell us coffee's bad for you. And they tell you this is good for you. Then they tell you that is bad. I mean, give me a break.
Water's good for you. Then it could kill you.
It's not a COVID thing. They do this all the time with all kinds of stuff. That they change their minds. And, oh, no, this new study has now told us that this is it. Happens all the time.
You did hear the report about breathing. Breathing is bad for you.
Oh, heard about there you go. It's possible. It's possible. Breathing is bad for you. All right? Baked beans, hold your breath. We'll tell you when to stop tomorrow. Okay? All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. We got to thank our super chatters first and foremost. Gus1388, Ray Gululone, and Kenneth in Cleveland, baby, or Kenneth Cleveland, getting it done. Appreciate that.
We want information. Who are you?
I'm a go-getter.
Who are you?
Dumbass material all the way.
I am not.
Dumbass.
I am a
super chat. Love it, love it. Alex, we'll answer your question tomorrow. Most underrated rock band of all time, no matter what era. I'll think about it. We'll because that's one you got to delve into. So that may take a while. That might be a discussion.
Well, there you are. We could stay for 5 hours.
Exactly. Right. Let's just do a 10-hour show today. So we'll do that tomorrow, Alex. That sounds like a fun one during our music segment.
1 hour later tomorrow, 12 o'clock.
Tomorrow, 12 to 3. We'll be out at VSS West Pines. Come on out, 12397 Pembroke Road. Don't say that we don't go out on the road. We do go out on the road. So come on out and join us. It's a long day tomorrow. We got that and we got soccer. It's going to be fun. And we got the heat. Big day tomorrow. Y'all be good. Be safe. Much love.
Till tomorrow.
This is the Big O Show.